Well, we've been in a series of messages called Getting Past Your Past, and we're going to continue in that process of how God has a plan for us to get past our past as we think about today bringing restoration. Before I get into the message, though, I want to just, if I could, just take a moment to share a couple personal words with you. Because there's been a lot of questions and just kind of want you, my church family, to know what's going on. And it is about my wife, Altalyn. A couple weeks ago, Altalyn was diagnosed with cancer. She had gone in for a mammogram. The results came back. Something was abnormal there. Went ahead and did a surgical procedure, a lumpectomy at that point. Then the results came back, and it was indeed cancer. Now, I got to tell you, a couple weeks ago, I didn't even tell staff. Altalyn and I didn't tell too many people. And as I tell this, pretty much what, if I say me, I'm also referring to Altalyn. If I say Altalyn, it's kind of both of us together have kind of the same mode here. Didn't really even tell staff what was going on for a couple reasons. One of the reasons is Altalyn and I both are kind of the folks that people tell things to. We don't necessarily tell things to people. Although I do that a lot in messages, I know, and that sort of thing, and we do on an individual basis. But it just seemed a little hard to do, mainly, though, because there were so many people that we both knew that had really bad diagnoses or something going on in their life, and it was kind of like we just didn't want anybody to think they're wrong kind of focus here or any of that kind of thing. Just kind of felt awkward because there's so much kind of worse news that was out there. But in that, obviously that's not ever good news, but there was some great news, and just to let you know, just so everybody knows, cancer has four different, basically five stages, zero to four, and she was diagnosed and staged at stage zero. So it was the very best news in that bad news about having cancer. It was contained. Surgery took care of everything. She is going to have radiation in the month of May. Kind of that's the timing of everything. So it allows her to be able to go to Moldova on this mission trip that her and I and several folks from our church are going on. You're going to hear more about that this morning. And so it kind of worked out. God worked all that timing out just right for all that process. And so just wanted you guys to know, you're my church family, I love you guys, I wanted, there's a lot of, it got to be a lot of questions about what was going on, and different rumors about this must be happening, or this must be happening. Well, that's what is happening, wanted you to know about that. Many of you, and several people this morning have been asking me, so what can we do for Altalyn? Well, obviously you can pray. The second thing is, I think you could take her shopping. That's at least what she would want. I don't know. I think that would fit pretty well. And however you want to do that would be just fine. But appreciate you guys. Love you very much. And I appreciate our church family. And just thought it'd be good just to kind of let you know what's going on. Well, we've been in this series of talking about getting past our past, getting past your past. Now, I got to tell you, I prayed really hard for this series to be something God would use in a real great way to really change some lives and change some hearts and help some people move forward in their lives. But I got to tell you, I was kind of overwhelmed this past week because I had so many people either contact me or actually come to my office and say, I just want you to know that last Sunday when you looked at and we looked at forgiveness, I just want you to know I really took some steps that I needed to take for a long, long time about forgiving some people. Some of the stories were pretty brutal. Some of the stories were very moving. I mean, there were just some amazing stories of God at work and all those different things. And so it was just kind of overwhelming to hear that and to hear how God is at work. Now, here's the thing. We are told to forgive. It is a command, but it is not just something that's a burden or a command that God tells us to do. It really is a great gift. It is a key to get out of prison, and you realize in the process you're the prisoner. And so forgiveness is so powerful. Now, last week we talked about when we've been hurt. We took a little survey in here, and I had people raise their hands, and the question was, have you ever been hurt? Are you been betrayed or lied to? And, you know, pretty much everybody raised their hands. I want to ask you another question today, another survey. It's a little bit tougher. And here's the question. How many of you, if you'd be honest enough to raise your hand today, have been the person who has lied, who has betrayed, who has hurt somebody else? Would you be willing to raise your hand right now if that's true? See, that's the reality, is that one's a lot tougher to raise our hands for, but it is true. We are going to need to be forgiven. We need to forgive people that hurt us, but then we are going to need to be forgiven. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How that we can be forgiven. What's God's plan about that aspect? Well, Jesus is doing a message in front of a whole bunch of people. And he's talking about a lot of relational issues. And we're going to look at the key passage in all the Bible that talks about what do we need to do when we need to be forgiven. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, and notice what Jesus says here. He says this, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." Now, back in the New Testament times, if you offered your gift at the altar, that was going to be in the temple. Everybody went to this one place in Jerusalem. In our context, that would be like church. That would be like when you're giving your offering money. But I think it's broader than that. I think anytime you serve, or you teach, or you attend church, something you're doing to worship God, anytime you're giving back to God, God says that should be a little checklist for you to go, okay, who has something against me? Who is someone that I need to make things right with? Who is that, and I need to take care of that? Now, Jesus says there's two things you need to do. Number one is you need to go to that person. Now, the word there is real powerful. It's not like, go if you feel like it. It's go. Take care of it. In fact, it's the only time in the whole Bible that I'm aware of that it says there in the Bible that something trumps worshiping God. That there's something more important than worshiping God, and that is to make some things right when you've hurt someone. When you've lied to someone, you've betrayed somebody. And to take care of that. So go and make things right. Take care of that, deal with that, go and take these steps when there's someone that you know things aren't right. Now that's pretty powerful when you think about what God wants us to do there. The plan is take action on this, make things right. Now so I'm going to give you a little checklist, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because we're going to go a little deeper a little bit later in these things. But let me give you a little checklist. If this is you, and it's going to be us at different times, so what are we supposed to do? The first thing is this. Don't make excuses. Do not make excuses. Now, we are really good at making excuses. Well, yeah, I spend money all the time, but you don't understand. My spouse is a tightwad. I wouldn't do that if they weren't such a tightwad. You know what that is? That is an excuse. When you do something and you're blaming somebody else, don't make excuses. You know, some guy, for example, gets caught watching pornography. Now, let's say this guy's a good guy, but he just kind of gave into that temptation and he gets busted on it. He could say, well, you don't understand. The only reason I did that is because of my wife. If my wife wasn't the way she was, then I wouldn't do that. Let me tell you what that is. No, no, no. You're selfish and you got busted and you just need to not make excuses. And you just need to go forward. And then you take the second step. And the second step is accept consequences. Accept consequences. There will be consequences when we have been in that category of needing to be forgiven. And you can't go, okay, wait a minute, that's not right. They're wanting me to do this. Let me tell you, you need to do whatever you need to do to build trust. Whatever it is. Well, that's not fair. They should just forgive me. No, no, no. You need to accept the consequences. The third thing is you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to ask for forgiveness. Now, let me tell you, that does not mean you go, so, you and me, we're good? We're good? That is not asking for forgiveness. It is not, I don't even think it is to say I'm sorry. I think you need to go, please forgive me. I was wrong. That's asking for forgiveness. A fourth thing is then, we need to change. We need to change. Because that shows that we really are sorry and we want to do something. Are we going to be perfect? We will not be perfect, but we need to change. So the rest of this message is, okay, so how do we do that? How do we change as God would want us to change? What gives us the power to change? How do we change? And to change, we just need to know some principles of what happens in something in Jesus' ministry. We're going to look at a guy who was all about two things in his life. He was about money and power. That's what he wanted. That's what he chased. That was what was important to him. Now, let's be honest. If somebody was asking us, do you want money or no money? We're going to all vote, hey, I'd say money, money. If somebody asks us, do you want power or no power? I'm kind of for the power. Okay, I'd like to have some power. That'd be great. I'm not going to say no power. Well, that's okay, but if you live for that, if that's your main goal of your life is to have money and power, let me tell you, that does not end well for people. Because there's some underlying spiritual idols there. It's like, well, this is my identity, this is my worth, this is really important, and you're putting your trust in some things that will not last. You're putting some things above God. I mean, there's some problems there if somebody really chases this with their whole heart. The guy we're going to look at today, he chased it with his whole heart. Every generation has examples of people who live that way. Who lived, hey, I'm just living for the money and the power. And it didn't turn out good for them. We all have examples. The biggest example for this generation and most recent big example of this is a guy named Bernie Madoff. This, I think, is a mugshot, actually, of him. Biggest Ponzi scheme in the history of mankind. Ripped people off for billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Spent it. He had all kind of art and boats and homes and all this stuff. He just took all this money from people. People's retirement accounts, college funds, everything. Ripped people off completely. Well, the guy we're going to look at today was a lot like that. He was a thief, a crook, ripped people off left and right, very similar to the same attitude you would have somebody like toward him if you were one of the guys he ripped off. That's how people felt toward this guy we're going to talk about today and understand about him. Now, his name is Zacchaeus. Now, here's the thing about Zacchaeus. You and I need to get a picture in our mind about Zacchaeus. And so I'm going to ask you in just a moment to get kind of a picture about Zacchaeus. But we're going to go to that first principle. And the first principle is this. Jesus' power is bigger than your past. Jesus' power is bigger than your past. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 19. We're going to look together at Luke 19, beginning in verse 1, and look at the story of Zacchaeus, and he's going to encounter Jesus, and let's see what happens. This is Luke 19, verses 1 through 4, and we're going to see how his past can be overcome. He can get past his past because of Jesus' power. Luke 19, 1 through 4 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, basically what happens here is you have Jesus on the road. And he's kind of making his way through to Jerusalem. He's about to be crucified on a cross on what we call Good Friday. It's about to be Easter, that Sunday morning when he is resurrected and comes alive after being dead. All that's in the near future. But on the way to Jerusalem, he goes through Jericho and he runs into a guy named Zacchaeus who is here. Now, we know a couple things about Zacchaeus. The first thing is he's a chief tax collector. Now, a chief tax collector means that he's not just a tax collector. He's the guy in charge of all the tax collectors. And he is very much hated. Now, so at this point, I think it's really good for us to get a picture in our mind of Zacchaeus. I want you this morning to kind of flesh this out and what God wants to show you. You need to have a visual of Zacchaeus. And I thought about this week, who would be some of the visuals for Zacchaeus? Well, I think one guy that comes to mind is this guy. Danny DeVito. When I think Zacchaeus, I got to tell you, I think Danny DeVito. I kind of think, you know, short, kind of chubby, balding guy, Danny DeVito. But you might think of somebody like this, like Woody Allen. You might think it's kind of like that. But I got to tell you, if I'm going to pick one, I'm picking Danny DeVito. So we're going to leave Danny DeVito up there. And you can kind of let just Danny DeVito be your picture of Zacchaeus as we go through this. Well, he is a chief tax collector. He has ripped people off. He's taken their money. He's taken their stuff. He's done all that sort of thing. And he has been appointed by the Romans and really has license to rip people off. He is a swindler. He is a crook. He is a thief. The way that you need to think about Zacchaeus is how that you and I would think about somebody like a drug dealer or someone who's involved in sex trafficking. When you think of that kind of a person, that's how you and I need to think about Zacchaeus. People hated him. He was notorious. And that's the kind of person that he was. And so when we think about Zacchaeus, he does something very unusual in these first four verses. He hears Jesus coming, and he does a couple things that men do not do. The first one is he runs. Men don't do that. There's really only three reasons that men run. Reason number one is exercise. Guys will run if there's exercise involved, that's all. A second reason is if you've stolen something. If you've stolen something, okay, you might run. That's one case. The third reason is if a really big, vicious dog is involved. That's one reason you might run. But other than that, guys don't just go, hey, I think I'll just run over there. We don't do that. And he wouldn't have either. But that just shows kind of where he's at. He's wanting to see Jesus really bad. He runs. He does a second thing that men don't do. He climbs a tree. I got to tell you, it kind of just makes me laugh to think about Danny DeVito climbing up a tree. I don't know. It just kind of, there he is. And it didn't look that powerful, let's say that. It didn't make, oh, he's all that because look at him. He's climbing up a tree. Guys just don't usually climb up a tree. But here's what he's going to find. He's going to find that Jesus' power is bigger than his past. He's got one. He's got a definite past. He has hurt a lot of people. He has done a lot of people wrong. He needs to be forgiven. So what's going to happen? What is Jesus going to do with this guy who needs to be forgiven? So let's go to the second lesson. Second lesson is this. Jesus knows what you need. You need a relationship. Zacchaeus needed a relationship. Let's go on and take a look now at verse 5. It says this. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now he calls Zacchaeus by name. That's a pretty big deal. That he says, hey Zacchaeus, calls him by name. Zacchaeus, oh, you know who I am? Well, here's the deal. Jesus knows your name. He knows about your day today. He knows about your day yesterday. He knows about your day tomorrow. He knows all about you. He knows about, the Bible says, he knows every hair on your head. He knows how many there are. It's true, some of you, that's gotten easier over the years, but it doesn't matter. He knows every hair on your head and how many of those there are. He knows you. And he knows Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is going to be part of what it says in John 1:12. Notice what it says in John 1:12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, Jesus kind of calls out to him. He's got a plan for him. He's got something for him. He tells him some important stuff. I mean, he's just said to them there in verse 5, he says, okay, I want you to come down because I'm going to stay at your house. He wants to have this relationship. That's pretty amazing, you think about it. That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the very Son of God, wants to have a relationship with us. And Zacchaeus. He wants that. Was Zacchaeus deserving of this relationship? Absolutely not. But I'm not either, and you're not either. We're not deserving of it at all. But yet he's going to have this chance to have this relationship. John 15 says that Jesus wants us to call him friend. That's always a shocking kind of statement to me because here's Jesus, the Son of God, says, I want you to call me friend. You see, here's the thing about Christianity. If you commit your life to Jesus Christ, it is a belief, but it's much more than just a belief in Jesus. It is a relationship. Jesus wants you to know Him. It begins with you committing your life to Him for the very first time. That's how it starts. And then He wants us to continue to get to know Him. It is all about the relationship. And so it's pretty amazing what happens here. So this process begins, and let's notice what happens next in verses 6 and 7. So he came down, Zacchaeus, at once, and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now there's two reactions to what happens here. Reaction number one is Zacchaeus' reaction. He's fired up. "I'm so happy. You mean you want to come to my house?" Now, it sounds a little presumptuous here, you know, because when Jesus comes over, he kind of brings a crowd usually. But what's happening here is that's very much a picture of, I accept you, I want to be part of your life, I do want this relationship. So Zacchaeus' reaction is the first reaction. "I'm so excited. Jesus wants to come to my house." I mean, and let's think about that. How many people have gone over to Zacchaeus' house, hung out, went to dinner? Not too many. There's not too many people that have ever put on Facebook, "Hey, headed over to Zacchaeus' house. It's going to be great. Having dinner over there." No one has done that. No one's posted that. No one has done anything like that because they all hate him. It's kind of shocking. But Jesus goes, "Hey, I'm going to go over to your house." That's the first reaction, Zacchaeus' reaction. But then there's a second reaction. The second reaction is the people's reaction. And they do something, one of my favorite biblical words, they mutter. I love that word. In fact, I'd like for us to do that today. I want us to practice muttering. Here's how it works. If you will, in just a moment, when I say 1, 2, 3, go, on go, I want everybody to say, mutter under your breath 4 times in a row really fast. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, mutter. That's good. That's some good muttering right there. That's kind of how it sounded. You know, you kind of got that going on. So, you know, they're kind of saying some stuff. They're saying some stuff about Jesus. They're saying some stuff about Zacchaeus. And what are they saying? Well, who does Jesus think he is? Does he not get this? This guy's a sinner. I mean, this is what I think, and I'm right. What's going on here is a bunch of pride. You know, pride takes us down some really bad paths. And when you tie pride into forgiveness, boy, you talk about messing something up. It'll mess that up really quick. Because, see, when you got a lot of pride, you go, "Well, I don't need to ask anybody to forgive me. I mean, they did some stuff too. I mean, they hadn't asked me to forgive them. Why should I forgive them? Why should I even do that? I mean, I shouldn't even have to forgive them." Pride will mess you up. So let me ask you, which reaction would you have had if you were there? Would you have been happy? Would you kind of been tweeting, "Oh, I'm so excited Zacchaeus is following Jesus. That's awesome. I'm so excited about this." I mean, what would you have done at this point if it was you there? And let me ask it, we'll go a little farther with that. Who would you have trouble with if they got forgiven? Maybe it's the person who hurt you or betrayed you or lied to you or divorced you or fired you. What would you feel like if they get forgiven? Because see, that crowd, there's a bunch of people that got ripped off by Zacchaeus and they're not too happy about it. How happy would you be if one of those people in your life gets forgiven? And here's the point. The point is this. That when grace comes into our lives and grace is this something we don't deserve and we get something like forgiveness, then you see it's got to change us to the point of being willing for someone else to be forgiven. It's that kind of process. So, two reactions here. Then we go into the third lesson here. And the third lesson is this, that Jesus changes lives. What was true doesn't have to be true about you. He changes lives, and that changes everything. Let's take a look now at verses 8 and 9, and notice what it says. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." Now, you've got a couple things going on. Some of the muttering was going on because they didn't think this was fair. But you have Zacchaeus who really changes. And we know that from a couple things. What Jesus says here, for one thing, but also what Zacchaeus does. He calls Jesus Lord. Let me tell you, in that culture and in that day, there's only one person that was supposed to be associated with the word Lord. And that was to say, Caesar is Lord. Only Caesar is Lord. And when he says, Jesus, you're Lord, that means he's above every government, every other person. You are the one that I'm committing myself to. You are Lord. And that's a really huge thing right here. Because he has been changed. And Jesus does that. Jesus is someone who changes lives. And so Zacchaeus makes a turn. And notice what he says he's going to do. He says, first of all the poor people that I've not given to, I'm going to give half of everything I got. Boy, that's pretty amazing. I mean, that's, even if you're rich, that's a big hit. He's going to give half away of everything he has. But then he goes on, he says, I'll tell you what, if I've cheated anybody. Now, I got to tell you, this week I was looking at that real close, and I was looking at, is he implying that he didn't cheat anybody, or is it that he did? And the answer is, he's implying that he did cheat people, because we know he did. He says, I'm going to pay back four times. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Let me tell you what that's like. That's like that you have a real good friend who says, hey, can I borrow your car? And you own a Hyundai. Okay? Maybe that's the, you know, you've got you, that's your car. And he says, can I borrow it? And you're saying, okay, sure. But what happens is your friend keeps your car for a long time. In fact, he never brings it back. Now, for some of you, maybe that's a blessing. You lost your Hyundai. But for most of us, it's a curse. You know, I don't have my car. I need my car back. And this would be like if your friend called you up after this period of time and said, hey, just want to tell you something. I've met Jesus. I committed my life to him. He's my Lord. So I'll tell you what I've done. There in your driveway right now is this really big Mercedes. And the keys are in it. It's yours. Let me tell you, all these people that were muttering about Zacchaeus, they're kind of going, yay, Jesus, right now. Hey, what did he just say he was going to do? What, four times? Wow, I know how much that is right here. Awesome. Well, I'm kind of happy about it now that Jesus changed. I mean, Jesus brought change into Zacchaeus' life. I'm so happy about that. Well, Zacchaeus does something real important here. He makes restitution. He makes things right. Now, here's the thing. We don't do things right so God will forgive us. We don't do things right because it's some kind of karma and I got to do things right so good things will happen to me. That's not why we make things right. We make things right because it is evidence that we have been changed. It's a big difference. And so we do the right thing because we have been changed. And so he makes restitution. He goes back and he says, here, I want to make things right for what I've done. Let me tell you, when you need to be forgiven, you need to make restitution. Now, honestly, you're not always going to be able to. Somebody might not even been around anymore. Maybe they don't want you to. They don't care. They say, don't do that. You may not be able to. But the principle is this, as much as you can, make things right. When someone has something against you, make things right. And that's the principle. Notice what it says in this fourth principle, very important fourth principle that says this. Jesus sees you not as who you are, but as who you can become. Now that's real important because it's who you can become. And how can you become someone else? Well, take a look with me at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So I got to tell you, this week I've done messages on Zacchaeus and I've done Bible studies on Zacchaeus and I've studied Zacchaeus before, but I always wondered, you know, what happened to Zacchaeus? I mean, what happened to this guy? And the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to him, you know, a year later, 2 years later, whatever. But in church history, actually, a guy in a sermon, in a message, talked about Zacchaeus. His name was Clement. He was the bishop of Alexandria. A bishop is a pastor over a bunch of other pastors. And so this bishop, Clement, in his message says, we all know what happened to Zacchaeus. This is years and years ago. He says, we all know what happened to him. He became the bishop of Caesarea. In other words, Zacchaeus goes from tax collector to pastor. So he changed. I mean, he made a pretty big turn there. So here's the point. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Everyone needs to be found. And Zacchaeus gets found. And you too, if you're lost, can be found today. Take a look at this next verse. This is where we get the power to change. I said last Sunday, when we talked about forgiveness, that it's not just try harder. Just try harder to forgive. You've got to have some power that makes a difference. And here's the source of our power. I also pray that you understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. We have power. And the power is that Jesus can change lives. Do not ever think that somebody can't ever change. Because when you think that, you're leaving God out of the picture. Do not ever think that you can't change. Because you're leaving God out of the picture. Your past does not have to determine your future. Because of the power of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that makes all the difference in our lives. If you would take out your connection card, and you're going to see on the back side of that connection card on the left, top left, some next steps. And these may be some next steps that God has for you today. The first one is this. Ask for forgiveness for someone I've hurt. Some of you need to do that today. The second one is, I need to make restitution. I need to make some things right in whatever way God shows me. Say, God, is there some way I need to make things right? Do that. And maybe the third one. Depend on Jesus' power to bring change in my life so my past doesn't become my future. Jesus will do that if you will let his power be in your life and you will follow him and commit to him. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and after that prayer, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song of commitment. And during that song, you can make your way out those back doors, and there'll be some folks out there that'll be glad to visit with you about any commitment, any next step that you have today. Maybe just to pray with someone. Maybe to commit your life to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Maybe to say, I'm ready to be baptized. I've committed my life to Christ, but I've never been baptized. And May 5th is our next baptism day. You can sign up for that. Or maybe you're ready to go all in here at the church and say, I'm ready to become a member. And they'll kind of get all the paperwork and info done. You get your picture made, that sort of thing. And all that will happen right out there. So you simply take the next step that God has for you today. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for how much you love us and how much you care for us, how that you've forgiven us. And we pray that we would forgive others, and also, God, that we would ask to be forgiven, that we would take those steps to go and say, I need to be forgiven. Help us to do that today. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.